read verses 8 and 9. Brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is an audience participation class. Who is the me in that reading that I just read? Paul, the Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul is putting himself up as an example. When I was asked if I'd take this class, I was told it could be on whatever topic I choose. My response was, whatever. Whatever? Whatever. I'd like to read from Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. I know you all will recognize this reading because we've heard it many times before. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, and this also could be her delight, couldn't it, is in the law of Jehovah. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. You might have gotten the hint that today's lesson could be called or labeled whatever. In Ecclesiastes, This is a scripture that really resonates to me because it involves doing, and all of you that know me very well know that I like to be active and I enjoy doing work, just physical work. I think it's pleasurable and I get a great reward out of it. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, and I think the hand might be kind of symbolic there of whatever. I'm sorry, that just slipped out. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. So don't just be casual about whatever you're doing. You know, and that whatever covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? A lot. Along this line, in John, 3 John actually, verses 4 through 6, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Who is the my here?
Apostle John.
Come on, folks, let's not have Carl answer all of my little question today. We'll have to do that, won't I? I have no greater joy than this, Apostle John says, than to hear my children walking in the truth. Behold, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church. Who is the they there? Ron, who's the they there? Akacha.
I think I would imagine the members of the people that he's talking to at that particular point.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because they're bearing witness before the church. It is the church. So the Apostle John is happy that those in the church are doing good things, whatever they are. So you might have figured out that today's class is on the use of the word whatever as we find it in our Bibles. We find it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So what does it mean? How can we tell what the whatever is? And does it mean the same thing all the time? And we're going to address some of the different uses. So I'm going to read from... Well, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to read from. I'm just going to read it. Who said that? Grandma. Okay, here we go. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. It's pretty obscure, isn't it? And I would like to know who's speaking and who she's speaking to and who the subject is. Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." What'd you say?
Lazarus and Mary, his sister.
Okay, so who? Answer my question. Who's speaking first?
Jesus.
No. Hold on a minute here. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
No, Mary or Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking to Jesus.
Martha, talking to Jesus about Lazarus. And she says, whatever. Whatever you ask of God, I will give you. What great faith that she had. So the subject there is Lazarus and his death. And the whatever, to me, is anything. Anything that she asks of God, God will provide there. Because she says, even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, Jesus, whatever you ask of God will be given you. And that's anything. Because God has power to supply anything and everything, which he does for us on a moment-by-moment, daily basis. Okay, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament for another little quiz here. It changes directions, turning around by his guidance. This is in Job, by the way. I'll give you that much to begin with. That it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the earth, of the inhabited earth. That's really a short, concise little scripture found in Job. And it's kind of sounds a little ambiguous. But it's a whatever that God commands. And it's commanding this whatever, if you please. What might that be? Are there any just guesses?
Creation.
Excuse me?
Creation?
No.
The wind.
Yes, the wind. And the wind does whatever God commands it. It changes directions, turns around by His guidance. God is in control of our physical environment constantly. So thank you for participating in that little question and answer period, which we'll do a little more of. So I went through the Bibles that I have. I have my father's not the original one, but one of his original Old Testament, Old King James Version of the Bible. I read from the New American Standard Bible, and several of you use the New King James. So I don't have a computer to access right now. So I went through the concordance that I have, which is keyed to the Old King James, and looked up all the instances of whatever that I thought appropriate in the listing there. So our New American Standard Version and the New King James Version exclusively uses whatever. The Old King James, however, uses the phrase whatsoever. And I was wondering what the difference might be. Or is there a difference in that phraseology? So I always like to look up things in Webster's, especially if I'm going to get up in front of you and pretend like I know a lot. And so I get out my Webster's, which is over 60 years old. So I haven't bought very many books in my life. And the occasion of buying this book was when I went away to college for the first time. So it's an old one. And I'm just assuming that whatever still has the same meaning today in the dictionary as it did 60 years ago. And here's what I found. Whatever can be used as a pronoun or an adjective. So I want to make sure I understand what a pronoun is, and that is something that can be used to replace a noun, which I remember from school is a person, place, or a thing. That's a noun. So a pronoun can take the place of a noun. And an adjective is a modifier. So it modifies things, like the brown hat. That I remembered from school also. As a pronoun, whatever can be used, as a pronoun, it takes the place of a noun, as in these situations, which thing, which event, or which circumstance, as in anything that will work or fit. As an adjective, being that it modifies, it has the suggestion of no matter as to type, degree, quantity, or quality. Like whatever you want or whatever you want to do. Not the whatever kind of situation that we find in the Valley Girl situation. So it doesn't matter as to what type, what degree, or what quantity, or quality. And to get a little further to try to understand the whatever, the what of whatever is what's called an emphatic variant. You know what emphatic is, right, Carol? What's emphatic? Oh, you use the word to describe itself. Is that legal? To use a word to define itself? But you're right. It places emphasis or focus on the variant. A variant is a variable, isn't it? So it's an emphatic variable. Sounds kind of complicated, but it's not really that complicated. What? So it can be used as a question. Whatever did you mean? It could be used as seeking permission. Take whatever you like. It can also be used as a command, as in do whatever God commands. So I picked Ezra as an example. Just a couple of verses that are really close together in Ezra chapter 7. So in verse 18, God is speaking, Ezra is speaking to the people, and he says, whatever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. So you get to make up your mind what to do with it, as long as you do it within the framework of God's overall plan or desire or authority. So that he's given permission there. Down in verse 23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently or exactly done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? So there's a direct command there that whatever you do, you have to make sure that it is done according to God's will. You may have noticed that the Ezra scripture was from the Old Testament, the old King James Bible, and used the whatsoever. Which is, the whatsoever is the archaic version of whatever. Bruce, what does it mean for something to be archaic?
It's old and been replaced with other words or phrases in this case. No longer utilized, at least not very much.
Exactly right. And seeing as how we're so modern these days, we don't use those old kind of words, right? We have to have everything all slimmed down and focused. So whatsoever, which is the archaic version of whatever, whatsoever is an emphatic form of whatever, because the so is in there. So if you look up Webster, in Webster's, you're going to find out that it means in the way or the manner shown, expressed, indicated, or understood. And we understand that because we use so all the time and we have all of our lives. But it just think about that for a minute, how it works in different phrases, especially in this phrase, whatever, whatsoever. So moving on, John 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That is in the Old King James. In the New American Standard, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Personally, I like the whatsoever better. But later translators have decided to slim that down and just make it what. But it does lose a little bit of the emphasis there, doesn't it? You're my friends if you do whatsoever, focus, whatsoever I command you. Matthew 16 and 19. Don't turn there. Just listen to me. Who's speaking to whom? You may even know that without even listening. Probably do. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, you shall bind on the earth, shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Kathleen, who's the subject there? Who's speaking to whom? Is Jesus speaking to, giving the keys of the kingdom to someone?
Peter.
To Peter. Absolutely correct. So that's reading in the New American Standard Version. In the Old King James, it would be whosoever or whatsoever. So there's a subtle difference between the two. The whatsoever and the whatever. So Peter has this power to loose things and bind things on the earth, and it will be done in heaven. There's one other little something I'd just like you to think about between these two readings. It's another change between the two. In the Old King James, it says, "These shall be bound or shall be loosed." That's a future tense, shall be. In the New American Standard, we have shall have been bound, shall have been loosed. That's past tense. It's already been accomplished. I don't have any comment about that, really. It's just something for you to think about. Why were they translated that way? And what is the significance of that? Is there any significance? So as with everything in life, context is extremely important. When trying to understand the whatever in Scripture, equally important, isn't it? Everything that we read in Scripture is just based on context or our understanding of it. Context. 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 Like to know who is being spoken to here. Whatever you ask in my Father's, or in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'd like to know who's being spoken to. Carol, who's being spoken to here? The apostles. The disciples is actually the word that's used there. But these are the apostles for sure. My other question is, does this whatever also apply to us? This is found in John, the 14th chapter and the 13th verse. I'm going to step up and y'all know now that Jesus is speaking to the apostles. I'm going to step up and read verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So does this scripture apply to us, Carl?
Yes. He was talking about Joshua. Apostles, yet whatever we ask, we receive of the Lord is with his will.
Okay, does everyone agree with what Carl said? Carl said yes, it applies to us. Carol?
I agree it applies to us. do. We don't have that kind of power or responsibility. We may ask, and he may say no. So we can't just say, okay, I'm asking, I want that.
Yes, it's his will.
Okay, listen to verse 12 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. So who's the I here to begin with? Jesus. Everybody agrees it's Jesus. Okay, so tell me what kind of things that Jesus did. Jimmy?
He's talking to the apostles, and they can do the miracles that Jesus did to have the other people believe.
That's key, isn't it? Jesus did all kinds of miracles. He healed. He changed the water to wine. He did on and on and on. So unless we could do those things, this verse doesn't apply directly to us.
Right.
It applies directly to the apostles. Okay. Just remember what we talked about right here, because we're going to come back to it in a different place. Because the church hasn't been established yet, has it? Because we're in John. And Jesus is still with the disciples. Okay. I say to you that Elijah has indeed come. And they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. This is the New Testament scripture. So is that scripture, from your remembrance and from what I just read, who does that apply to? Who's the person there? Somebody speak up loud so I can hear.
Jesus.
No. This is found in Mark, the 9th chapter, and it's the 13th verse. I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. Carl?
How did Jesus say that?
Good for you.
Indeed, Elijah has come.
Okay. This is a
new... Not facetiously, but that's... Or indeed, Elijah has come.
Who is the Elijah in the New Testament here in Mark?
John
the Baptist, isn't it? Or John the Baptizer. And what is the whatever that was done to him? He was executed. What happened to him? His head was cut off. Yeah. You forgive me for being so obscure, but I know that you all are very good Bible students. You show up for this class all the time, so I'm kind of pushing you, or maybe even pushing your buttons. It's a stalling tactic to make sure I use up all the time. Here's some pretty important whatevers that I feel directly apply to us. Matthew 7 and verse 12, even though this is before the church is established. Whatever you want others to do for you, do so for them, for this is the law and the prophets. What do we call this? What does the world call this little saying? The golden rule. And it's actually in our Bible, isn't it? And we are told that this is a good thing for us to do. Whatever you want others to do for you. And that whatever covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? how they treat you, how they interact with you, what they say about you, what you would like other people to do for you or with you. That's an important whatever for us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, with goodwill, render service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. So with goodwill, whatever we do, which is called service, we are, after all, just a bunch of servants, aren't we? Aren't we servants of the Most High God and of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is our earthly example? But we are to do this whatever that we do. Service can be a lot of things. We're to do it as to the Lord, not as to men or before men. What did Jesus say about the hypocrites? I mean, yeah, the Pharisees, they were hypocrites, right? Because whatever they did before men. They prayed on the street corners and made loud noises, and when they gave contributions, they didn't slip up quietly and drop it in. They blew trumpets, made a big deal out of it. They were getting their reward right then and there. And that's what happens to us too. That's what we get. We get our reward whenever we act like that. Whenever we do something and then say, even casually or kind of around the barn, well, this is what I did. You know, look at me. So with goodwill, we should be thinking about the previous and whatever you want people to do for you, the golden rule. When we're rendering our service, we should be doing it with goodwill. I'm assuming we all know what goodwill is, right? No? Yeah, we do, don't we? It's one of those phrases that we don't think about all the time, but we understand what good is, and we understand what our will is. That's our ability or our desire to do something for someone. We want it to be good, and we want it to be from the heart. And our services are all those things that we do for other people, that we are to do it as to the Lord. Carol?
I'm just thinking on this about there's a real fine line between somebody who's bragging and taking praise or wanting praise for something that they do, and somebody else who is just talking about the things that they do, and it's that person is being an example in the things that they are doing, and like the examples we have in the Bible. So it's sometimes a fine line, but there is a place for people sharing the good things that are in your life that we're supposed to rejoice over.
That's a good point. It really is. And it brings up kind of one of my, I forget the word, but you ever forget the word? Someone does a little something nowadays. Have you ever noticed that everybody is a hero now? You just do your job and you are a hero. That just pushes me sideways. I think that is just, it's wrong. I think it's wrong. Yeah, everybody has to have their own memorial so that we remember all these people. Well, there's only one memorial that we should remember, and that is Jesus our Christ, our Savior. Everything else, they're just mere men that did something, maybe noteworthy, maybe not. Are all of our sports people, are they all heroes? Should we be following them, using them as a pattern for our life? to be rich and famous like them, and now in the news in all kinds of negative ways. Now, we're not all heroes. There are some heroes for sure. Those soldiers that fall on the grenade so that those others with them might survive. Now, that's a hero. Just like Jesus Christ, who gave his life to cover our sins when he had no sin of his own. Covered our sins. But anyway, that's one of my pet peeves. I remembered the word. I've got quite a few of them, though. Pet peeves, that is. So whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. So we might not receive it in kind, but we are all blessed here, each and every one of us. And I think it's because we do good. We actively try to do good and to be good. So we receive back from the Lord good. And I look out across the audience and I know you've all prospered and had good times. I know you've had some bad times too, but I think if you weigh them up, I think the good times are going to be much, much more. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the writer writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man, a person, a child, a woman, a man, this they will also reap." So it says God is not mocked. How does that relate to the idea of sowing? A person, oh, he's just out sowing his wild oats. What is that relationship there about living your life? That's what the sowing is, and mocking God, or the fact that God is not mocked. Jimmy? That's right. You're not fooling God. You're just cutting yourself off. Carol?
Well, because time is so eternal for God, we think in our realm of time that we're getting away with something.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the time period that you think you're getting away with something and proving him wrong means nothing to him, and he knows how it will end.
Yep, we're fooling ourselves, aren't we? If we're out sowing our oats, wild oats, usually is that connotation. We're just doing whatever we want. We're not actually mocking God, we're mocking ourselves. Pete, right? Yep.
I just I've heard it said, you don't want to sow your oats, you don't want to sow your wild oats in a way that you're on your knees praying for crop failure.
Yeah. Pray for a crop failure. Yeah. Carl?
So-called scientists of today, they're kind of like heroes. There's such a variance there. They mock God in their claims many times.
They do. Yes, they do.
Yes.
And we can mock God in that same way.
Including like aliens made these things a long time ago. That show there made these old relics, megalithic structures on the earth
A
long time ago. Anyone can disagree with me as much as they like. That's fine. But angels, fallen angels made those.
Okay. We won't pursue that right now, if that's okay with you, because I have no knowledge or opinion on that right now. Carol?
Sowing is a lot more than just wild oats. children, we have to be careful what we sow in every aspect of our life. We can sow the wrong attitude about things. We can sow an attitude. We can sow indifference. We can sow all kinds of negative things, which is the point that if we sow those negative things, we are going to reap that which we sow. It's going to produce after its kind, and we're going to reap those things. But the point is just a whole lot more than just wild oats.
Absolutely, and we see evidence of that all the time in the world, in society. But we can also sow the good oats too, can't we? And a lot of you have heard me say that lots of times, remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, people see you. They see what you're doing. They might not know you, they might not know if you're a Christian or not. But if you were accused of being a Christian in a court of law, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Something to think about. You want there to be plenty of evidence to convict you of being a Christian. Here's some more whatevers. Kind of running out of time, so looks like I did pretty good on my number of pages. In Romans 14 and 23, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. That last whatever, that's kind of troubling. We are to do everything by faith. And it says, if it's not from faith, that the things that we're doing, the whatever there, that means everything. If it's not from faith, we need to make some adjustments there. So, and in the scripture reading itself, it says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats. I think we can apply that if he goes fishing, or if he goes golfing, or if he or she does something other, it doesn't necessarily pertain just to eating, it pertains to our lives. If we do these things and we feel uneasy about it, like, I love cars, I always have. So if I feel like I want to go to a car race, instead of doing something that would be more beneficial, and I'm a little shaky on that, I don't have faith that I'm doing okay, then I shouldn't go to that car race. I should be taking care of business. But if I've determined in my mind, yeah, this is an occasion where I've got everything taken care of, I'm good to go, then it's okay for me to go. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So the whatever there, again, we need to understand the context. It's not just eating or drinking. It's in whatever you do, do all of it to the glory of God. And to kind of go along with that, so that, this is found in 1 Peter 4 and 11, in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So our lives, whatever we do, we need to focus on glorifying God in whatever we're doing. Because we're here for God's glory, not for our own. We're not going to be able to take those cars, those fancy cars and boats and airplanes and and all that nice hiking equipment and whatever, we're not going to be able to take that with us when we go. But we are going to be able to take the fact that we glorified our God while we were here. 1 John 5 and 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So the whatever here, it's that word is limited by the next couple of words. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And we've talked about the world and what the world is and the world's influence quite a bit lately. At least I've been talking to myself about it. And we want to make sure, I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing is born of God. And finally, in Colossians 3 and 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him, through Jesus, to God the Father. So there again, we're limited in the whatever. Do all in the name of the Lord, whatever it is that we're doing. What we're doing constantly, how we're acting, the activities that we are engaged in, we need to be doing them as if Jesus Christ were standing right next to us and doing them too. Whatever kind of speech that we're using. Finally, Ephesians 5 and 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Brethren, visitors, ladies and gentlemen, that's why God put us here on this earth, to glorify Him. Not to be president, not to be the president of your Rotary Club, or to be a hero. All those different things that we are so busy chasing in life. We're here to glorify God in the things that we do. Thanks so much for helping me through this class. I really appreciate it. And I love you all for it. That's the only reason I'm able to stand up here in front of you. It's because I love you, and I know you love me, and you're rooting for me. Thank you again. The class is yours.